Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. What does Christian living look like? What makes it different from the life lived by a person without faith in God? What distinguishes the Christian way of life from that of a Muslim or a Mormon? Today's epistle reading from Romans chapter 6 is a good place to begin in considering questions like these. Christian living is, first of all, an ongoing renunciation of one authority and the embracing of another. Paul writes in Romans 6, "Let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments of righteousness. For sin will not have dominion over you, since you are not under the law, but under grace." Paul's words alert us to a conflict between two powers within creation. There's the kingdom of this world of sin and Satan that says to us, get what you want in life. Why pray for something that you can take for yourself? You know what's best for you. Believe in yourself, and there's nothing you can't do. Don't let other people stand in your way of reaching your goals and your dreams. Through natural birth, we all inherit a human nature that is inclined to believe false promises like these ones of satisfaction, pleasure, success, and happiness associated with self-will and sin. But there's also the kingdom of God. God's laws expose sin's promises as lies, and they warn us that living for our desires will finally destroy us. God's laws move us to be sorry for our sins, but they can't free us from the hold of sin on us because we can't keep the ways of God's laws in ourselves. God's laws describe righteousness for us so that we know its shape. Love, joy, peace, kindness and goodness, humility, faithfulness and self-control. But God's laws cannot give us that righteousness. Jesus does that. Jesus proclaimed the kingdom of God in his life. He lived easily and fully in the law of God. He knew the ways of this world and all of their temptations firsthand, but they had no hold on him because he was without sin. And he consistently rejected the kingdom of this world and revealed the reality of the reign of his Father by speaking the truth with bold love and by doing deeds that were possible only for God. And then Jesus let his enemies have their day. He allowed Judas to betray him, the Jewish rulers to condemn him, Pilate to fail him, and Roman soldiers to crucify him. Naked and alone, God forsaken and cruelly shamed, Jesus hung and bled and died. And for 3 days, the kingdom of this world rejoiced in its apparent victory. But then God woke his son from his rest. Jesus was raised and exited the tomb holding the keys of the kingdom of this world in his own hand. Sin, death, and the devil lay crushed and defeated under his feet. Jesus went to his disciples to tell them the good news that he had made things right between the Father and man born in sin. After ascending to heaven, Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to assist with Jesus' rescue of people who were enslaved in the kingdom of this world. The Spirit freed you and me from the kingdom of this world through baptism. By the power of God's triune name, He united us with Jesus in His death that set Him free from sin, and the resurrection that gave Him authority to crush sin, death, and the devil for us. Now, brothers and sisters, when we hear God's law proclaimed to us, it reveals our sins. But we can do more than just wallow in our sorrow for being so bad. We can turn to Jesus in faith, confess our sins, and rejoice that He forgives us. We can turn a cold shoulder on the temptations that still bother us like mosquitoes on a hot summer day. And we can praise God that that Jesus has opened the doors of His reign to us. Christian living is turning from the kingdom of this world and living in the kingdom of God under His reign. And Christian living is freedom. Freedom from the dead-end existence of living for ourselves. But Christ also sets us free to live by faith in service to God and our neighbors. Thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. And having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I'm speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness leading to sanctification. Our freedom is not the worldly freedom of doing what we want. For that really is nothing more than sin ruling the roost in our lives still. Jesus sets us free to be and to live what God created us to be, His children and His servants. In baptism, the Spirit recreated us in the image of Jesus, the image of God's loved and loving Son, who served us with His own life and set us free from sin's power. We are free to know God as He has revealed Himself to us in His Word written and incarnated by Jesus. We are free to trust in His love, free to respect and revere His holiness, and free to praise and thank Him as our loving Father. We're also free to be about our Father's business in life, which is service to people. We never work primarily for ourselves. We have God's promise that He cares for us and provides us with all that we need, and so we are free to work to provide for others. Martin Luther, in his teaching about vocation, said that all Christians are like masks of God. In fact, all people, even if they don't believe, are like masks of God. In the various ways in which we've been given skills to work, God works through us to provide for our neighbors. And that's the calling that we're free to live in through Jesus Christ. Not to have to worry about ourselves and whether we'll have enough or we're saved and so try to do better, but to trust in Jesus Christ's complete work of salvation, that by His death we've been forgiven and saved, so that we're free now to live for God's will, which is the good of others. And finally, Christian living is energized by hope. But now that you've been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruits you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Repentance from sin and faith in God's grace in Jesus form the new foundation for our lives as Christian people. Worship of God and service to our neighbors are the bricks and mortar. And the houses that the Spirit of God is building with us will stand forever. Unless Jesus returns first, each of us will die. But according to the words of our King, since Jesus died and rose, so shall we. When Jesus comes, the kingdom of this world, which still lies to people suggesting that it's all there is, but when Jesus comes again, this kingdom will finally fall like the walls of Jericho, completely and eternally. Sin, death, and the devil will be cast into hell, never again to escape. And you and I and all who trust in Jesus Christ will rise and live in the glorious kingdom of God in endless worship and perfect love. What does Christian living look like? The familiar morning prayer of Martin Luther goes right to the heart of our way of life in Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings and life may please you. For into your hands I commend myself, my body and soul, and all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.